Well, welcome into the AL Recruiting Power 5 podcast. We are excited today to be joined by Stanford Cardinal long snapper Bailey Parsons. Bailey, we are so glad to have you on the show, man.
Thank you. Glad to be here. You really helped me out a lot when I was getting recruited, especially on Twitter and, getting my name out there. So anything I can do to help out, I appreciate it.
Well, yeah, you're a local guy, man, from Gardendale. And, we've been following your career a long time, and now it's getting to the end of your college career. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But tell about growing up in Gardendale and kind of when did you know that you wanted to play college football?
So my older cousin, he's about 35, 36 right now. And he actually played football at Mortimer Jordan back in like 2004, 2005. And so I grew up like very young going to his games. And then he wound up going to UNA and he was an All-American there for 2 years. So just kind of being around that at a young age, the college scene, watching him, and he would always come back and we'd play football in the front yard and whatnot. So I knew pretty early on that that was kind of my goal, that I wanted to play college football. And then Goose Crowder, a guy, one of my best mm-hmm. friends at Troy now, we would always go hang out at his house on Saturdays and whatnot. And his cousin also played at Alabama back in the day. So we would, watch him on TV and things. So just kind of being in that culture from a very young age, it was something that I'd kind of looked forward to.
Well, there's a lot of young men in the state of Alabama that dream of playing college football because it's huge. That's a big deal in that state. But there's a lot of young men that does not become a reality. And so I want to talk about recruiting. And for you specifically, as I was kind of preparing for this interview, I was scrolling through Twitter, some of the old messages you had sent me that you had been offered or you were going on a visit or you were headed to a camp. And I just kept scrolling back. At the beginning, you were a tight end, but as your career path shows, and I think you chose the right one because you're a long snapper and you were successful starting and doing all that at Stanford. When did you know, hey, I don't want to be a tight end. I'm going to move to long snapper, and just kind of fill us in a little bit about your recruiting process.
So I originally did come out as a tight end, my freshman year. That's where I'd played my entire life. And I actually continued to play it freshman through senior year in high school. But around sophomore year, that summer going into my junior year, I was going to all these camps. I went to about 7 or 8 college camps that summer. And at that point, I was about 6'2", 200 pounds, and I moved decently well. So, I got a little bit of attention from some schools for tight ends, some smaller schools, like smaller D1 FCS schools. And they were kind of saying, when you go put some weight on, and if you grow another couple inches, come back and kind of reevaluate and see how your season goes. And that's what a lot of the FBS schools that I was trying to reach out to, they kind of said the same thing. You might be a little undersized. So then I took the route of reaching out to D2 and D3 schools, and since I was a little bit more geared for those type of programs with my size. And then I picked up long snapping my freshman year of high school, just as a way, I didn't know if I was going to start at tight end, so I just wanted a way to get on the field. So I picked up long snapping, and then I just kind of kept at it, and it was something I just did on the side. And my sophomore year, when I would go to these camps, I would find out who the special teams coordinator was, and after the camp I'd be like, hey, I also long snap a little bit, can I just throw a couple balls for you and just see what that was like, and if you what you think about it. Because at that point I was like, I need to provide as many tools, I need to be as much of an asset to the schools as I can, especially if I'm undersized right now. But then a lot of the schools my junior year, when I would go back to these camps again, and I'd kind of stayed the same size, I hadn't really grown a whole lot earlier that summer. I had actually a coach at Louisville, and he was like, you might want to look at just long snapping. That seems to be kind of your thing. And at first, you know, I was kind of upset, you know, like, hey, like I've been training to be a tight end my entire life. You know, this is what I think I am good enough to play tight end. And then I just kind of had to do, you know, a kind of a tough conversation with myself. And I was like, I might not be, you know, big enough to do this. So what is the most realistic option for me to go play the highest level of football that I want to? And after, you know, a couple of weeks, I talked to my brother about it. I was like, I think I'm going to have to go kind of the long snapping route and just kind of really put a lot more effort into that to try to get to these bigger schools that I wanted to go to.
Well, I think you said it perfectly, and this is never a popular topic on Twitter. Jim Nagy, he's the director of the Senior Bowl. He posted something the other day, and for the most part, kind of, I'm paraphrasing. He said the NFL is a genetics league. Power Five college football is a genetics league. I mean, that's what it is. You play it. At some point, you have to have that conversation with yourself. If this is the level that I'm going to play at, genetically, if I'm not going to hit that number at my position, then where do I have to go to get on the field? And you did that. I mean, because I think one thing that I want to make very clear, you did have options D2 and D3. So you could have played college football at that position, but where you wanted to play was Power Five. You might have not have been Power Five, but at least in that FBS level is what you wanted to play.
Yes, just somewhere at that level. And I think that's kind of the interesting deal, at least with me, is that instead of choosing to go to a smaller school, I also chose to play a different position in order to try to get to the bigger school, which it worked out. But yeah, it just, and I kind of wish I had like everything worked out perfectly. I love the situation I'm at, but I kind of wish I'd had that conversation with myself a little bit earlier. You know, like my sophomore year when I'm like, I've been trying to put on weight for 2 or 3 years and I've only put on, you know, 5, 10 pounds. And maybe if I'd started to kind of prep myself, like, hey, you know, I know my freshman year I had that mentality like D1 or bust, which is like a very popular thing, which I'm not a huge fan of. I have plenty of friends and old teammates that are playing D2, D3 ball, JUCO, love it. It's the best time of their life. But you know, I had that mindset, you know, being 14 years old, seeing all these guys on Twitter, Instagram, you know, living the life. And I was like, you know, I have to be there. But having those conversations of, hey, you know, like there's still quality football. I mean, I grew up, like I said earlier, what made me want to go play college football was watching my cousin at UNA, which they're D1 now, but at the time
They
they were
were, yeah.
powerhouse. And you know, they're quarterfinals, semifinals every year, and like they're playing good football and they're still pumping out, you know, NFL guys at that point.
Well, that's a it's just a great conversation, and you know, I'm impressed with the maturity it takes for young men to kind of say, this is the path I want to go on and really pursue that. And that's what I want to encourage kids and parents to have those conversations through a podcast like this. And so you go through this recruiting process, you change positions. I remember when you posted, hey, I'm you know, you were getting interest from Stanford, and then you said you were committed to Stanford. I actually remember that. And I thought, man, that's an interesting, that's a long way from home. And so how did you know that Stanford was right for you?
For me, I went on a visit. I went on their junior day in the February of my junior year with my mother, and I just fell in love with the place. You know, it was one, the weather was beautiful. The humidity was nowhere to be found. But and then also just meeting with the coaches, the players, they had it set up where we actually had dinner with professors in areas that we wanted to go to school in. And just that sort of environment was something that I was really enjoyed from a football perspective, but also, you know, just a life perspective of this seems like a place that can make me a better person as well as a better football player.
Yeah, I mean, and their academics are second to none. I think most people are pretty familiar with that. I was looking through your Twitter account. You had retweeted a few things even just a couple of days ago about that. So there's so much more that goes into a decision than just playing football. I mean, because sure, you're having a wonderful time playing football and you're going to have some opportunities, but at some point for everybody, football goes away. And when football does go away for most people, you're still a relatively young man at that time in your life.
Yes. I think one thing that everybody, you know, you go into college and you kind of expect everything to go perfect, which, I mean, me myself, I've had 2 wrist surgeries and a broken neck since I've been there. So at any point,
whoa,
yeah, it's been a rough career, but we're good. We're good now. But at any point, you know, your playing career can be over. I had a very, very close friend of mine. He just had to medically retire, you know, a month or two ago. And I think one thing that, you know, helped him through it was, you know, the school. He enjoyed the school, which I think is kind of lost in the recruiting process, because there's a good chance, especially now with the transfer portal and just how college football is shaped, there's a very good chance that the coach who recruited you there is not going to be there your whole 4 years. The guys in your class that you got close with during recruiting, they might not be there. So like the one thing that's constant through all that is the actual school, like the university. So I think that's one thing, just kind of being in college now, seeing how it plays out, is kind of lost, is do you love the school? Because that's one of the bigger selling points for me. Like when I'm talking to people about recruiting, I tell them, if you don't love the school, you're not going to love your time there, because you got to go to class. Like if you're done with football, you're still going to class, you know, the dining hall, you're on campus. Like if you don't love it, you're not going to have a great experience, and that will translate over to football as well.
Yeah. Your head coach has changed since you've been there, right? David Shaw was there when you got there.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I think everybody had Coach Shaw penciled in to coach there for another, you know, 10, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Even my position coach, who had been there for 12 years, and he's the guy who recruited me the entire time out there. And we still have a great relationship to this day, but he left and he's now the associate head coach at Rice. So that kind of was also an in-person wake-up call to me, like, hey, you know, this is, at the end of the day, this is a business. You know, there's no there's no guarantees of who's going to be here, who's not, when you're gone.
Yeah, that's, I think everybody's having to learn that at a much younger age, you know, with NIL and all the stuff that's going on, is that, look, guys, ultimately this is business, and these coaches are trying to make a living, and you know, if you're not getting fired, you're going somewhere else, and they have to live that life, and it's a tough one, but I think you're spot on. Fall in love with the place you're going. Not with a coach, not with the way a program is ran, fall in love with where you're headed at. And so kind of share just a little more about your college career specifically. What has college been like for you? I know you've talked a little bit about Stanford, but what has it been like being out there?
It was very interesting when I first got out there, because that was the peak of COVID. And so we came out there. And I actually lived in a hotel right off Stanford's campus for 2 months, because they weren't allowing students to come onto campus. And we were testing 11 times a week. Like we were testing twice a day some days. Like it was very, very strict. But the great thing that came out of that was they put all of the athletes in one dorm. And I actually, on one hallway, was my entire freshman class. So for a whole year, we just got to live, you know, right next to each other and just get really close as a team. And also there were other athletic teams in the dorm. So just getting really, making a lot of friends with them and just having a community, even at a time like that. And I think I'd say my favorite thing about Stanford is it's a smaller school. There's only 8,000 people. So you know, there's 2,000 per class, which is pretty small as far as like a Power 5 school, especially. So you get to know a good bit of the people on campus. You know, there, I don't think there's ever been a time I've gone to class where I don't know at least 5 or 10 people. Mm-hmm. So just having that sort of tight-knit community, which is something that I was really worried about leaving, you know, in Gardendale because I had a really tight-knit community with my friends, my family, teammates, and everything. So being able to go to Stanford and build something similar to that made it a lot easier to transition.
Yeah, I think that's such a key thing. Even though you went a long way from home, you were still looking for some of the qualities that were a lot like home. Mm-hmm. And so often in the recruiting process, and guys that sign with a team and go to a place, you know, they may go to a place because of hype or because of a coach or because of whatever. And when they get there, it's just nothing like they've ever experienced, and they really struggle when they're there.
Yeah, I think making yourself more than a football player while you're at college, you just do a little bit more than just go to workouts, class, and go home. You know, go out and meet some people, especially being a college football player in America. Like people will want to meet you if you're just a good person. You know, they'll want to meet you. Like, they'll want to meet you, talk with you, you know, hang out. Like I try to encourage every guy I know in high school when they go to college, go out and meet people who don't play sports at your school. You know, go out and meet like students and go to the dining halls, like go to the regular dining halls, go to the library. I mean, you should be going there for class anyways, but you know,
right.
Go meet people and make it a whole experience outside of just football, because I think that's where a lot of people can kind of just, you know, get burnt out and it's tiring. If you just wake up, go run, go to breakfast, go to class, work out, and you go home every day, that's going to be miserable. You know, 4 years of that, it's going to make anybody not, you know, love what they're doing anymore. So just trying to go out, you know, join a club or something, you know, go get involved, play intramural. Don't tell your coach, but, you know, like just go out, you know, be involved in the campus.
Man, that incredible insight, Bailey. I hope as many recruits as we have that follow this account listen to that part and really take heed of that. And so, you know, you feel like you've done a lot already. You're headed into your senior year. I believe last year you were a starter. That at least from what I could tell on Stanford's website about you, your player bio. You kind of now, what are your goals for your senior year and your career ahead?
So this year, well, it's my senior year, but I actually just got accepted into grad school a month ago. So I'll be able to return for my fifth year.
Nice.
I've been very excited about that. So my senior year, you know, ideally start every game. You know, that's just a goal that I always have. You know, I want to play as much as I can and try to have as many tackles as I can. And then our kicker, Josh Cardi, he came in second in the Lou Groza Award this last year. So me and him, which we've been roommates for 3 years, so we're pretty tight. So my goal this year is to try to get him to, you know, get him to the top and off to the NFL, because, you know, that's one guy who works hard and deserves it. So, you know, if we can get him that trophy, that'll be a quality season.
Well, you know, it's one of those things, Bailey, like we want to know who you are and we want to cheer you on and pray that you're successful, but also we don't want to ever hear about you during a game recap, right? Unless it's a tackle.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I think that was the biggest mental switch from high school to college. Like in high school, you know, I was a team captain, you know, started all 4 years, you know, played tight end, was like a decent part of the offense and like game plans and stuff. And then, you know, showing up day one, at that point I was the backup long snapper being a freshman. You know, it's a bit
not of, many accolades at that point, yeah, right?
Not much. You know, definitely have to build respect with guys on the team, especially in a position like that. You know, it was a humbling experience, like just being very straightforward, you know, showing up. And some guys, you know, if they're like a senior on their way out from the NFL, you know, they're not worried about you. You're a freshman, long snapper. You know, so you've kind of got to go the extra mile and beyond in workouts, meetings, paying attention, practice, you know, to show them like, yes, I deserve to be here. Like I deserve your respect. And, you know, that was something that was kind of tough going into freshman year. And I think that's been probably one thing that I worked on my freshman year that I think I feel good with now, you know, confident in what I do and the impact to the team. And, you know, whether I'm starting, not starting, freshman, senior, you know, just having confidence in yourself and what you bring to the team.
Well, I think so often we do fixate on guys that come in and as freshmen have an immediate impact. But, I mean, 99% of guys that sign in this recruiting class that, you know, right now in 2023, I mean, we won't really know who they are till a year or two down the road. And for the most part, they come in and you know this, recruiting is awesome. Coaches are nice to you. It's great. They, you know, you get all this cool stuff when you go on official visits and stuff. And then when you get there, you're just another guy that's not starting at this point.
Yeah, I think, you know, because there's seven or eight other guys. I mean, not specifically for like specialists, but like if you're a receiver, running back, linebacker, DN, there's seven or eight other guys that, you know, they got that are just like you for the most part. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they got them the same recruiting visits, you know, everything. And that's not to say that your coach doesn't care about you, but, you know, that you're paying, like you're paying their salary by performing.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're putting food on his table. And if you're taking food off his table, he's going to find somebody who can.
Wow.
And I think it's, you know, it's nothing personal. It is just truly a business, especially when you get to the high levels and they don't care what you were ranked in high school, you know, because mm-hmm. guess what? Everybody was ranked in high school mm-hmm. at that point. You're picking the best of the best from across the country. You show up and you are, you know, big fish in a small pond. You're going with guys who are big fish in a big pond, and, you know, like you just got to compete. Nobody's worried about, you know, I did this in high school. I did this in high school because everybody did it.
Yeah. And that's, you said something that I think spot on is that, you know, you come out and these guys come out of high school and they're like, oh man, he's 6'2". He runs a 4.4. He's, you know, 205 pounds. And he's going to that team. Well, that may be the recruiting profile of that specific position. So what you said, everybody's like that guy because mm-hmm. they don't sign them if they don't fit that profile. And so, yeah, that's awesome to have all those numbers. But like you said, there's probably six other guys in the position group that have the exact same numbers. And oh, by the way, most of them have had 2 or 3 years in a college strength and conditioning program to get better.
Yes. That is a big emphasis, is being in that strength program, you know, that, and it works. I mean, if you see guys from freshman year to senior year, they're throwing on 20, 30 pounds of muscle. You know, you have an 18-year-old coming in, 17-year-old coming in, especially with the COVID year now. I mean, you've got them playing against 24, 25-year-old yes. men, you know, like your freshman year, you come in, there may be, you know, 10 true freshmen that start like in the Pac-12 this year.
Mm-hmm.
That's 12 teams. You know, there's like, it's not common. And I think people who get discouraged from not playing their freshman year, and, you know, that's affected the transfer portal too. You have a lot of people transferring in like January after their first season.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't want to get too much on the transfer portal, but, you know, like, stick it out for a little bit. Like, you know, if it's 2 or 3 years and you're like, okay, you know, I've like, you know, this just isn't for me. That's one thing. But, you know, if you're there for 6 months and you feel like you just have been screwed over by the coaches or whatever, because you didn't play your freshman year, nobody else did either. You know, freshmen, they don't play a lot at that level because guys are better. Like, it's not the coaches, you know, don't like you or they made a mistake bringing you there. Like, there are just guys who are better. They will be playing on Sundays for paychecks.
Mm-hmm. Man, incredible insight. Man, I try to keep a limit on podcast length. So I'm gonna have to kind of end it, but man, we got to have you on again. This was too good. There's just incredible insight, and man, it's so fun to kind of catch back up and see what a, you know, a positive, great young man you are, and well spoken, and obviously I think you made the right decision for yourself. And so keep doing it. You know that every time you come out and snap a ball, Alabama's gonna be cheering for you, and in the Southeast and all of Gardendale will be cheering you on. But man, we wish you nothing but the best. And thanks so much for joining with us today, baby.
No problem. I appreciate it. I had a great time. Yeah. Anytime you want me back, just let me know.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening. Hit the like, subscribe. It really helps us to have more guests like Bailey on. But have a good one, everybody. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.